Appreciate those songs, the songs that have been sung this morning. And appreciate the enthusiasm that I've felt in the songs, the heart. When you look outside, there's not too many Sundays a year we get to come to church and have snow flurrying around outside. And I don't know about you, but I'm cold weather, I'm done with it. But it's here, and it's still February, so give it another week, then maybe it'll be done. But I was thinking about getting together this morning in worship, thinking about worship. And I was just so blessed with the thoughts that were shared there in the devotional that Brother Denton shared. And I wonder how many of you learned something this morning if you were here. And you've got a lot of facts now that just make a lot of sense, right? That's just way over my head. And so we're going to have a lot more explanation, Denton, to try to get this all figured out. But God's greatness, you know, a couple Sundays ago, we heard about our view of God and who God is. And we heard this morning that he is the creator. And look at the intricate thing, how complex a person, how complex. And you go and look at nature, you go out to the farm, and you see a ewe with a couple lambs. And it's beautiful. There's so many things, and that's the Creator, and that's why we're together to worship Him. If you came this morning to worship because you're wanting to, because of who the song leader is, or who's having the devotional, or who's having the opening, or who's preaching, you know what? You're probably going to go away empty. But if you spent the week praying and worshiping this week, and you come together this morning looking for what God has, I believe you can leave. You can have the confidence that you can be here, you can worship, and you can leave edified and built up. You know, I believe our hearts should be in a state of worship. If too many times we tend to compartmentalize, or just we yesterday is work, it's what we do, it's our practicing dualism. We're here, and now we're here. Now we're here worshiping today. You know, I don't believe God, that's not what God wants. We should, as we go through the week, every day, and there's a lot of emphasis. Some of you had a meeting here recently, and there was a lot of discussion on when we should worship. Should we worship on Saturday? Should we worship on Sunday? And I believe we should worship on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And I believe there's a time to get together like this to worship. But I don't know that God, I think he cares, but I think that's not the most important. It's the important thing is that we are worshiping, and that's who we are, this great God that we serve. You know, in John 4, I believe it was a Samaritan woman there that came to Jesus, and she said, I think maybe she was just trying to figure out something to say, but she said, some say we should worship in Jerusalem, but we worship in this mountain. What do you say? Where do we worship? In John 4:23, he says, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him, and God is his spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You know, worship seeks union with its beloved. An active effort to close the gap between the heart and the God it adores is worship at its best. A man was created to worship God. Only the Holy Spirit can enable us to worship him acceptably. It's only as we meditate on his goodness and greatness that we realize who we are and how small we are. And as we were listening this morning to the way God created us, you know, how small we are. And you know how big we think we are sometimes. 1 John 5:19 says, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that God, the Son of God, is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. You know, that John there in that last couple verses there, in 1 John, he says these words, and then he says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. And you know, we are worshiping something. We are worshiping God, or we are worshiping idols. You know, we don't like to think of it that way. But where is our worship? There's a story told by Warren Wiersbe. He says one of their church members came to church, and he was a very pious man. And the superintendent asked him to say a couple words to the junior Sunday school class. So he stepped in, and he stood pompously before them, and he said, why do you think people call me a Christian? And this junior class, everything was quiet. And finally, a small voice from the back of the room said, because they don't know you. You know, what do people think of my life? What do those that know me, you know, what would a Sunday school class of children that know me say? You know, children are very perceptive. You know, can we truly sing, O day of rest and gladness, O day of joy and light, where gospel light is glowing with pure and radiant beams? Or that favorite song of ours, Come Gracious Spirit, Heavenly Dove, with light and comfort from above. Be thou our guardian, thou our guide, o'er every thought and step preside. Lead us to God, our final rest, to be with him forever blessed. Lead us to heaven, its bliss to share, fullness of joy forever there. I love that part of that song. Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Let us love our God supremely. Let us love each other too. You know, it's such I think what Denton left us with there, that we were created by God and he loves us. A beautiful thought. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. You know, why did Christ come? In order that he might make worshipers out of rebels. We were created to worship. They're in the Garden of Eden. That was what Adam and Eve were created for. And you know, when Adam and Eve sinned, when they ate of that fruit, if you read that passage, it wasn't Adam or Eve that were going out and they said, God, where are you? It was God that came walking through the garden. He said, Adam, where are you? He was, even though they had done that, he loved them. And he reached out to them. Worship is the normal employment of moral beings. Worship is a moral imperative. That's by A.W. Tozer, a quote from him. Worship means to feel in the heart. You know, if we just merely go through a form and don't feel anything, is that worship? In everything we do, we should be in the spirit of worship. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And if we haven't been worshiping this week, we're going to find it difficult to worship here this morning. It may be a lot easier to pull out that phone and look at it and what's going on. Maybe we're missing out on something, right? There was a former president, Woodrow Wilson, was in the barber shop, and he said somebody walked in and sat in a chair next to him. He didn't know who it was. He said he came there for the same reason he was there, to get a haircut. But he said every word that he uttered showed a personal and vital interest in the man who was serving him. And he said before he got through, I was aware that I had attended an evangelistic service because Mr. Moody was in the next chair. Said he purposely lingered afterwards just to see the effect of Moody being there would have on the rest of the barbers in that shop. He said they didn't know his name, they didn't know who he was, but they knew that something had elevated their thoughts. And I felt that as I left a place of worship. So what impression do I leave to those I meet or interact with for a short time? You know, our presence probably isn't going to leave a lot of impact, or that lasts or is positive, unless it's an expression from the heart, unless it's an artesian spring that's flowing spontaneously, something that is alive and moving. It refreshes, it gives, it revives. It just can't help but spread an expression of the heart. One essential of true worship is unlimited confidence. We can't worship if we don't trust. You know, when you watch a dedicated horseman, and we've got some people here that like horses, but one that knows his horse, you know, you can tell very quickly if that horse knows him. A true horseman won't ask something of his horse that he can't do. You know, you may not even see a lot of communication if you're looking on. There may not be any words, but they move as one. The horse knows what his master wants. He wants to please his master. And that's most horses. I've seen a few that aren't much like that. But if a horse that's been trained well, a horse that's been worked with, and there's a relationship there, it's beautiful to watch when that horse trusts his master, and that master can depend on that horse. There's a lot of time and training involved. There's a lot of hours, and you know, those hours haven't all been pleasant. It's hard work. There's times that there's difficult things to go through, and that horse doesn't appreciate it. But how much more does our master care about us, about every detail of our lives? But we find it so hard to keep our focus on him. We find it easy to follow the desires of this flesh and give our devotion to one that his chief goal is to destroy, and he doesn't care how he does it. But you know, a horse that is dedicated to his master knows when someone else gets on him. He knows it very quickly. He's not concerned if the person that is on him is not concerned for his welfare. And often he will try to get rid of him, throw him off. If our dedication and worship is not wholly given to our Creator and Redeemer, we don't have to continue that way. Our Savior is holding out his hand. He's reaching out and wanting us to take us back into that ark of safety. Looking back in Genesis 8, you know, if we see there where Noah sent out the dove, it came back with nothing. Nothing to offer. She wasn't able to get in herself, but he put his hand out and he pulled her back into the ark. We have nothing to offer, but Jesus is wanting and waiting to reach out and to pull us in. John 14:21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. You know, there are conditions, and that's obedience. True worship will only be found in a life that is committed to obedience. And I love those words there in verse 23. My Father will love him, and will come unto him, and make our abode with him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. I think we could put it that way. And I trust and I believe that's every one of our heart's desire here this morning. If we meet the conditions, it can be a reality in our lives. And I believe the closer we get to Christ, the deeper our desire will be to worship him more fully in spirit and in truth. If you want to take your Christian hymnal and turn to hymn number 9, but worship the King all glorious above and gratefully sing his wonderful love. Let's stand together and we'll sing the first and last verse. Maybe first, third, and fourth.
The song. Oh, worship the King. Our shield.
Thy bountiful care, what tongue can recite? It breathes in the air, it shines in the light. It streams from the hills, it descends to the plain, and sweetly stills in the dew and the rain. Frail children of dust and feeble as frail, in thee do we trust, nor find thee to fail. Thy mercies how tender,
for prayer. Our kindly fathers, we come before thee again this morning. We want to thank you and praise you for who you are. We just want to thank you for this opportunity to be together here this morning, the privilege we have of worshiping together like this without fear of being hindered or molested. We just pray that you might, for those in many places that are getting together today, that are risking their lives for that, we just pray there for their protection. Pray that you might give them grace and strength and courage. We pray for those that can't be here this morning because of sickness. We pray your healing touch on them and pray your blessing on them also. We just want to commit this service to you. We want to pray for Brother Joseph as he brings a message. Lord, just open our hearts to what you have for us as we worship. Just bless his words and anoint his lips. Lord, to just pray that we might have the words that you would have for us today. We just thank you again, Lord, for who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.